Would you turn again to that portion of the word that we read together in the book of Hebrews? And reading in chapter 2, and we read these words in verse 3, the third verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, and so on. And of course, for the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There was a man who once picked up a tract that he saw sitting, being discarded on the pavement. And when he picked it up, he saw that on it was written that £100,000 reward would be given to anyone who can answer the question on the other side of this page. And quite excited, he turned over the bit of paper, and written on it were these words: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Well, of course, needless to say, the reward remained unclaimed to this day, friends. For there is no escape if we neglect salvation. There is no escaping the judgment of God if we neglect salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter makes clear elsewhere in his writing, neither is salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And as we look in the week ahead, and God willing, next Lord's Day, that some who have escaped and some who have not neglected salvation will seek to remember the Lord's death as they sit at the Lord's table, but not all, not all. And even those of us who profess to have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also, of course, in a time, we should do it all times, but coming up to a communion time, we should also be examining ourselves to ensure that we have escaped from the wrath and judgment of God, and that we are sitting at the Lord's table, because we have escaped, not to escape, but that we have escaped. For sitting at the Lord's table in and of itself will not save anyone. There is no salvation. And sadly, many throughout the world, maybe on a day like this itself, will partake at the communion time, the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, whatever is called, different places. We have never known what it is, and imagine that all that's necessary is just to partake to ensure their salvation. Well, friends, that is not the case. I'm sure I would like to think that everybody here knows that that is not the case. But I would like us all then, whether we are not Christians, not believers here today, or whether we are and have been for many years, to consider this text and to examine ourselves in the light of the Word of God, which is very clear to us. And I would like to do so, first of all, by considering why we need to escape, man's condition by nature. Man's conditioned by nature. Well, we know Scripture makes clear that by nature man is lost. And that applies to every single person, wherever you are from, every single person born into this world, that is their condition. Now, the Bible makes that very clear to us. I am sure that if you're here at all today, it is because you know something of this for yourself. It applies to each and every one. And the other thing that we know, that being lost, that we need to be saved. And again, the Bible makes clear what is necessary for us, that lost man cannot save himself. That is impossible for us to do. And that can only can apply not only to a person who knows the gospel, but also a person who has never heard the gospel. For those who have heard, like yourselves here today, and as the heathen who have never heard the gospel, it is the same. And the reality is, friends, although so many do not like to think of it in this way, that you today, if you have not put your faith and trust in Christ, that you are as lost as the heathen, and the heathen is no more lost than you are. There is that need for you, for me, for all of us, to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to imagine that we are better than others because we know these things, we know about these things with a head knowledge, is foolishness, and we are being blinded by it. So unless a man comes that to realize that you are lost, that you are imprisoned by sin, and unless you cry out for freedom from the only one who can give you that, the only one, if you like, who has the key to open the door, the Lord Jesus Christ, as is freely offered in the gospel, he is willing and able to save the lost. You will continue to be in that prison where you were born and how you came into this world by nature. You will continue in that condition, except that you repent, you will perish. That's the reality of Scripture. Some of us may not like to hear that, and some of us may not like to be reminded of it, but that's what the Bible teaches clearly to the youngest person here, to the oldest person in the place. And you are by nature, all of us by nature, we are, as it were, if you like to put it this way, that we are by nature, that we are on remand in custody, already been found guilty by the law of God, and all we are doing every moment that we're left in this world is that we are simply here, we are, it is pending the sentence that is going to come to us all. That is every man by nature, not just some, but all of us. That is how we are. That is how we're born into this world. We're born in iniquity and sin. Every single person. We hear much about people being innocent, and we all think that we love our little children, our babies, and look at that lovely innocent wee baby born into the world. Well, there is, in a sense, that is so. They may not have actually committed actual sin, but they are still nevertheless born sinners. And here, friends, our text here surely, that is one word that immediately draws our attention. How shall we escape? Now, when we read that word escape here, does it not immediately think of someone being imprisoned? Isn't that what we have when we think of being, of escape and the need to escape, of being captive, somebody locked up? But friend, don't think of that as applying to someone else and not yourself. This is addressing all of us as we are by nature. This is what is necessary for us to see this. And what prison house is this that you need to escape from, that I need to escape from? Well, it's the prison house of sin. That prison house is there for all. The Bible tells us, I mentioned earlier, we are born in iniquity and sin. What does that mean? Well, we've already been found guilty. We are guilty before a holy God. We are guilty before the holy judgment seat of God. And the reality is, friends, the eternal punishment in a lost eternity is the inevitable sentence that comes with that, as we are by nature. And unless we come to the place where we repent of our sins, we're born into the world of God, we'll die in that condition, and there is only one place that will then mean for us. You see, friends, God is a holy God, and God's holy justice would not allow him to set any free who are still in their sins, dead in their sins, not having been found in forgiveness and mercy, not having sought forgiveness. Have you sought forgiveness for yourself? Some of you here can say, well, I have. That is why I'm coming. I pray next Lord's Day to the Lord's table, not to receive forgiveness at the table, but because I've already, that I have found forgiveness and I have found mercy and I have cast myself upon the Lord. It is the table of the Lord and remembering the Lord's death till he come in the way that we do is a result of having already realized our condition. And if you today realize your lost situation, well, there is hope for you. Do you think about it? If you're an unbeliever here tonight, today, do you think about it? Well, you might be saying, well, I know I'm not saved. I know I'm not a born-again Christian yet, but I'm not yet lost. Well, my friend, that's where you're already mistaken. You're already lost. Your lostness is not to do with when you die and go to an eternal damnation. You see, that is the ultimate end of the lost. But you're lost if you do not believe today in the Lord Jesus Christ. And while you might be saying, well, I'm not yet lost, you are wrong there. That is the reality of Scripture tells us. There is a day of judgment where that will be evident to you. But there is already a lostness belonging to you if you have not put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are born in iniquity and sin by nature and will continue to live in that prison until the day we repent and the day we seek the forgiveness and the mercy of God. So friend, I ask you today, think of the consequences. Think of the reality. It is foolishness on your part to imagine that all will be well with you. It is foolish on your part to think that ultimately one way or the other, that I will get to heaven. How many young people, how many children may be here today are just depending upon that their parents are Christians, their grandparents are Christian, whoever. Husband, wives, wives, husband. How often that happens? Well, we are depending on them. They're good people. And friend, it's not up to your neighbor. It's not up to your wife or husband. It's not up to your father or mother. It is for you and for me personally to come to the place where we seek the Lord and we make sure that we are the Lord's. So many have been lulled into a false sense of security in unbelief in this prison house of sin. Simply because, well, yesterday is as today, and you think every tomorrow will be likewise. And there is this idea of, God hasn't judged me so far. If I'm such a sinner, why hasn't God cut me down? Why am I not been already been killed? God hasn't judged me, although I know I'm not a Christian. I'm still going on in life. Is that how you think, some of you here today? Well, yes, I know some of them next week will be sitting at the Lord's table. I won't be, but, dear friend, listen to the word of God. Let me quote to you another text from Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set on them to do evil. Do you see what that is saying? That very thing, maybe you've been thinking, well, God hasn't cut me down and I know there's sin in my life and I'm still here. Because sentence hasn't an evil work not executed speedily, The heart of man, fully said, continued to do evil. Just because you think that, well, God has not dealt with me so far, so why will things be different? Friend, do you realize what you are by nature? We sometimes read of some people in prison who have been there a long time in prison. They've got so used to it. They are institutionalized in a way that it's their way of life, and they find it hard to adjust to. And indeed, some of them, it's, we are told, some do find it hard, even they want to leave the comfort of prison. It's a familiar situation that they're in. It's a familiar environment that they find themselves in. My friend, could that be true of yourself here tonight, today? Could it be true of you that is how it is? You're in a comfortable environment. You're here, you come to church every Sunday, more or less, as you can. There's all these things about you. And you're comfortable in that situation. Your life goes on. Your existing level, if you like, of religiosity is fine with you. You're comfortable in that situation. Does that describe someone here today? Is that you here this morning? Comfortable in your situation? My friend, be warned. There is no salvation in that comfort. It's a false comfort. It's a self-depending comfort that you have there. It is not the biblical comfort that you need. Salvation is offered in and through Christ, faith in Christ. And except you have that faith, and all you've got is an outward form and not a true desire, that you will give you a new heart and a new desire and a new life, how shall you escape? How shall you escape? You are fooling yourself if you think in that way. How shall I escape of that? The answer, you cannot. It is impossible. There is no way of escape if you continue in that way. If you continue in that prison house of sin, friend, you will die in it except you repent. Yes, man's condition by nature. Is that your condition here this morning? But then secondly, we look at the freedom through the gospel. What is offered in the preaching of the word? What is offered, as it were, in the gospel? Nothing less than Christ himself. Christ himself. And when you have Christ as your Savior, as some here have, we are thank God for that, it means being free. And that alone is where freedom is. To have Christ as your Savior. And so there'll be some, as I said, who will seek to remember his death afresh next Lord's Day if we're spared. And they do so because of this. Because they're made free, the shackles have been broken. Sin no longer has dominion in their lives. There's a question for you today. Is sin still dominant in your life? Maybe others don't know about it. Maybe some, and they know nothing about the kind of lifestyle you have. But you know, and the Lord knows. This is the only way you can be free from the condemnation of the law, free from the punishment that your sin deserves. My friend, do you realize what it is to be a sinner? Do you realize today what your sins deserve? I'm sorry to say that, and you are no different from any other congregation anywhere else, I'm sorry to say that probably likely, more than likely, there are some here today and you do not realize what your sins deserve. And you never know anything of the freedom of the gospel. My friend, God sees your heart. As we mentioned, all mankind by nature are in the strictest sense, they're prisoners. They are transgressors of the law. And because you are still in that prison house of sin, there is no freedom. And because there's no freedom, you're under condemnation. And it's a terrible condemnation. And except you repent, you'll remain condemned. There is no other way. If you continue to neglect so great salvation, there is no other way to be saved. Your religiosity won't save you. Your church attendance won't save you. Your good works won't save you. Nothing will save you. Nothing will give you this freedom that you need. But there is mercy, friends. The mercy of God is seen in the scriptures. How do we see that? He gives us all a way of freedom. He gives us all a way of escape. Oh, he cannot ignore, friends. Make no mistake about that. He cannot ignore his own justice, his own laws. It's not possible. But he has shown his justice can be and has been satisfied. And that's what we see what Christ came into the world to do. He came to seek and to save the lost. God gave his son to propitiate, to bring about reconciliation between himself and sinful man. But you have to believe that. It's not enough to know here today, my friend, that Christ, I believe that Christ came into the world to die for sinners. You need to know that, but that's not enough. It has to be a personal thing. He came into the world to die for me. It's that personal aspect that is so necessary, friend, for you. And nobody can sit at the Lord's table, genuinely sit at the Lord's table, without knowing that personally. Christ died for me. He gave himself for me. To believe Christ became your substitute. That he bore the penalty of your sin that your sins and mine deserve. That's vital, friends. Something that you and I could never do. Oh, you're trying to. You're trying to. That's what so many religious people do. They imagine in one way or another that you can satisfy God by your so-called level of holiness or not being as bad as you could be. My friend, there is no freedom from eternal damnation except in Christ. This is offered to all. That's why we call it the free offer of the gospel. It is offered to all in and through the gospel. Of course, the Lord knows his own and they will be saved. But for you, man's responsibility, that's what gospel preaching is about, or at least should be about. It's not just about the cold facts, as it were. If there's such a thing can be spoken about scripture, you know what I mean by that. It has to be a personal aspect to it. It's about how does this affect me? And I say to you today, friend, it affects you unless you have put your faith in Christ. You will not escape this prison house that you are in if you are neglecting so great a salvation. But here again today, sadly, while you all may know all about it, you don't know about it savingly for some. Well, you might be saying, you're just a stranger here. You don't know what I am or who I am. My friend, I know my own heart. And I know my own heart in other days. I know a sinner is a sinner. And an unsaved is an unsaved sinner, whether it be here and in Scotland where I come from. It doesn't make any difference. And here you are today, maybe, despite your regular attendance where the message is proclaimed from week to week. Here you are again today, still what? Still imprisoned. That means still without God, still without faith. And if you are without faith, my friend, you have no reason to have hope. None whatsoever. The reality is you cannot be believing the scripture. You've heard preaching in this pulpit for over many, many years, some of you, and other pulpits as well, other people, maybe in different countries, where you heard the gospel. What have you made of it? But you cannot be believing it, that there is no other way of escape. But oh, but I do believe it. Well, my friend, if you believe it, how are you showing it? It's a funny way you have of showing it. If you have not as yet come to faith in Christ. What is the point? I'll tell you something, my friends. Hell will be far worse for such a people who have heard than the heathen who have never had a Bible. That's the reality. You are here today. You've got a Bible in your hand. You're under the preaching of the word from time to time. What are you doing with it? Do you know this freedom? Is it sin in your life? Is it in your profession? Is that confession and repentance there? And because of this, that you want to sit at the Lord's table to show the world that you love the Lord? That you've been set free? That you put your trust in Christ? That's what people next Lord's Day will be doing here. Sitting at the Lord's table, as I said before, to show that they love the Lord. To show that they've been freed from the shackles of sin by partaking at the Lord's table. As I said, that does not save anyone. And I want to emphasize that. The table of the Lord is not a saving ordinance in and of itself. So don't make a mistake in thinking that's all that you need. Faith in Christ. Obedience by sitting at his table. That's how it should be. And friend, if you are here today and if you are still living without your sins forgiven, how shall you escape if you're neglecting this great salvation? It cannot be. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that to you. The Bible tells you this is what you need. There is no escape. There is no freedom any other way. The old prophet, Ezekiel, turn ye, why will you die? Here is it's a great salvation, friends. It's a great salvation for many reasons. It's a great salvation for who planned it. God the Father planned it. Who purchased it? God the Son. And who applies it? God the Holy Spirit. It is great in that, but it's also great in that it embraces countless numbers of any and all who will not neglect it. It doesn't matter our background. It doesn't matter our past sins. It doesn't matter what country we come from. This is the same salvation for all who will come. That's where freedom is. Freedom from the power of sin and the ultimate end of it all. Then, oh my friend, I pray that you would be amongst those today who believe that for yourself and to know something of this freedom in the gospel and through the gospel. So there's freedom, man by nature, freedom, and then through the gospel. And finally, there's also neglect spoken about here. How shall we escape if we neglect? It's the ideas of making light of something. You might say, well, I'm not neglecting it. I come under the preaching of the word. And that is good that you are. But there is a, if I can put it out, making light of it. Not really, really, really considering it, the reality of what it says. Remember the parable in Matthew 22? There was this parable told of those who were invited to the great supper. And all, so many made excuses. I married a wife, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I've got the next thing to do. Is that you here today? You've been making excuses. You see, the wonder of the gospel, this is not someone who is not, what we have here is not someone imprisoned and there's no way of escape out of the prison. There is a way, and that's the wonder of the gospel. There is a way out of this prison, out of sin. There's a way, however great your sins are, however your past, present, or future sins, they are all covered in the blood of Christ. And this is what you need to know. It doesn't matter what your past is. Some of us would be ashamed. And I'm sure here some would be ashamed. All of us indeed, if people knew our past sins. But there's mercy and there's forgiveness. And that we are not to make light of this. We are not to neglect this in any way whatsoever. There's a way, but not if you neglect the way. You see, it's all about really what some here today are not doing. It's about what you are not doing. We call sins of omission. Indeed, the greatest sin of omission. You know how often it is, and we all usually think of sin, of something that is being done, putting it simply, doing something that may be obvious to yourself and others, whether it be somebody, oh, he's a drunkard, or she's a thief, or an adulterer, or a murderer, all these things, Sabbath breaking, so on. But you see, this is about what you are not doing. Some people say, well, I attend church and I'm a good neighbor and so on. But here is something you don't do. And it's good that you attend church. It's good that you're a good neighbor and a good family person, a good son or daughter to your parents and vice versa. But here is something you don't do, and it's the greater sin. That is what we have here, friends. It's neglect of the way of salvation. Here is the important thing in life. Something you don't do, and it condemns you for eternity. Neglecting the way of salvation. Neglecting indeed the only way. Neglecting Christ as he is freely offered in the gospel. That's what you have the scriptures have time and time tell us. And yet here you are this morning and you expect somehow or other to get to heaven. Who here today doesn't expect to get to heaven one way or another? I don't think there's one person in this place who thinks that they'll go end up in hell. You think you're going to get to heaven somehow or other. But you see, my friend, you don't seem to understand that doing nothing is what will condemn you and leave you in the prison house of sin and its inevitable consequences. Oh, but you see, I do pray. I do read my Bible. I attend church. Stop right there, friend. That is, again, where you are going wrong. As I've said before, don't tell me what you do. Think about what you're not doing. And in the not doing is where you are being condemned. And you're not doing what Scripture would have you to do, because you are neglecting the way of salvation. This is the only way, faith in Christ, as he is freely offered in the gospel. It's the only way of escape. And if you neglect the offer of the gospel, you will be lost. You will be lost. Remember, the angel said to Lot and his family fleeing from Sodom, well, he's saying to you here today, the Lord is saying to you today, flee. Escape for thy life. Flee while you still have opportunity, my friend. You may not have it tomorrow. We're talking today here about next Lord's Day and having the communion time there. Maybe some of us won't see it. Who knows? You might not see it. I might not see it. We don't know what a week will hold for us. So now is the time. Now is the time to make sure. Let me put it this way. And young people, I say to you as well, listen. What if you died this week coming? What then? Oh, but I didn't have opportunity to sit at the table. Absolutely nothing to do with anything. Now is the accepted time. Today, my dear friend, tonight, young folk and old folk, middle-aged and all, this is the time. I have no doubt that some of you here this morning find it difficult to accept some of what I'm saying, especially that you're still enslaved by sin, under the sway of the devil. Indeed, even you believe maybe if that is so, well, yes, maybe that's true to some extent, you say. You believe, nevertheless, that, well, I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll escape, I'll start a new life when I feel like it. And you're thinking, well, things aren't that bad, not really that bad with me. My friend, I tell you, the longer you postpone this, the longer you put off this, the longer you neglect this, the harder it will be for you. I was recently trying to get into a building, or out of it, doesn't matter, into a building with a door of which I just couldn't open it. And why was that? Well, because the lock had seized with lack of use. It was obvious where the door was. It was obvious why it was there. It was clear where the entrance or the exit was through that door. But it had been left so long, there was no way of entering in. The way was unmistakable, but it was no longer, I couldn't open it. And this is a true, I'm telling you, a thing that was actually happened, brought home to me. Why could I not open it? Because the lock was all rusted with lack of use. And I had neglected looking for it in the way that I should. Left it too late. Should have used the key a long time before. My dear friend, is that going to be true of you? Too late. You're still on mercy's ground, but you might not be tomorrow. Might not be tomorrow. Don't neglect the way of escape, friend. If you lose out on it, what a tragedy. Having known all that you know, having heard all that you've heard, having pointed out to you time and time again on countless occasions, and you're going to leave it too late, and you'll find the door will not open. And what are you going to hear? Depart from me, I never knew you. What a thought, friend, that anyone who attends regularly at St. George's here would end up in that situation. Why would that be? Well, for this reason, because you neglected the way of salvation. And some here next Lord's Day will sit at the Lord's table. Is that to ensure their salvation? Absolutely not. As I said, where they've already, they are sitting there because they're able to say by faith, I have already escaped. I have not neglected the way of salvation. I have put my faith and trust in Christ to free me from my sins, to wash me from my sins. I am free in Him. I'm a new creature, born again of the Spirit of God. I am sitting at the Lord's table because of what He has done for me. And I'm there to show the world and to thank Him for doing so. I could ask you, are you expecting to be there? Well, you say, well, I might just go after all. That's fine, my dear friend, as long as you know why you're going. And you're not going to be saved, but you're going because you're already saved. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Amen. Let us conclude. Oh, blessed Lord, how far we fall short in so many ways. But it is Thy word, and we pray that Thou would bless it, and that Thou would convict and convert here this morning, and that Thou would not leave one single soul here without knowing this for themselves, and fleeing to Christ, the only way of salvation. Forbid, Lord, that any who have been neglecting up to now would neglect from no one. Rather, that all would come to the place where they would be able to know for themselves that Jesus Christ is their Savior. He alone is able to save, and He is willing to save to the uttermost. In His name we ask it all. Amen.